John chapter 21, I'll begin reading. I'll read the first three verses and then we'll pray. The Bible says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again unto the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing." Let's bow just for a quick word of prayer, and we'll get into the message. Father, we're thankful for a good morning. We're thankful for your goodness. Lord, even if it was raining, Lord, even if folks aren't feeling good, you're still good no matter what. And we praise you for that. And I pray that you'd bless the next few moments. We've had great songs about testimony of your love for man. But God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning, not about your love for us, but rather our love for you. And love, real love, entails action. And I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts as we look at these fishermen from John chapter number 21, specifically Peter. And I pray that you'd meet with us in our cars, in our homes, on live stream, right here, Lord. I pray that you'd meet with us in a special way. And I pray that you challenge our hearts about our affection towards you and whether or not we're going to be obedient. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I was growing up as a kid, one thing I loved to do is go fishing. And fishing is just a great thing. I can remember when I caught my first fish. I was just a real young kid, maybe 5 or 6 years old, and I was fishing with my uncle, and we caught a little brim. Some people call them sunfish, and I was hooked. Literally, I was hooked. And so I like fishing. When I was growing up, my dad lived in South Alabama, and I would visit him during the summertime. And we'd spend the summers in South Alabama, and he lived on the Gulf Coast. And my dad, when it came to the woods or when it came to the water, he was a master outdoorsman. And we would go fishing in some way, shape, or form. We would go fishing on the Pascagoula River in Mississippi or somewhere in the Mobile area, and a couple times during the summer, we would hook up with one of his buddies that had an offshore boat, and we would go out into the Gulf of Mexico. And I tell you, if you've never been deep sea fishing, boy, that's the food chain in action. You start with something small, and a lot of times before you even reel your line in, you get something that's just amazing. And so that's kind of the way I grew up. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a fisherman. I would look at the saltwater sportsmen and see those big 40-foot haddresses and say, Dad, that's what I want to do. I want to own a boat like that and just take people fishing. Well, God has some other things in mind, but that's the heart of a fisherman. A fisherman loves fish. Fisherman I hear an amen back there. That's good. But a fisherman, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not a really skilled fisherman, so I do a lot more casting than I do catching. But you have to find other things to love about fishing. Just being out in nature, just spending time with your family. My kids are at the age now where I'm teaching them how to tie on their own lures and bait their own hook and take their own fish off, and they're good with that. They love to eat what they catch, and it's just great. But fishermen love fish. We love the outdoors. We love the water. We love the boats. We love the weather. We love everything about fishermen. Well, this morning we're going to look at John chapter number 21, and we're going to look at some fishermen. That's who I can identify with. And primarily we're going to look at a fisherman called Simon Peter. Now, Simon Peter's an amazing character to study in the Bible. One old preacher said that he's the most American of all of the disciples because he said not knowing what he said. And Peter was just kind of that personality. And so when you come to John chapter number 21, you have Peter here. And I was thinking this morning and praying, I'm like, Lord, I don't really have a Valentine's Day message. I'm not a holiday kind of guy. My wife will tell you when Christmas comes around, it's just kind of like, you know, I love to share the gospel, but I'm not a holiday or a birthday kind of guy. Easter, I love to preach on the resurrection, not just during Easter, but all the times of the year. My 12-year-old son would love to kill the Easter bunny and eat him for breakfast. And so I don't really have a Valentine's message, but Valentine's Day, it really focuses on affection, doesn't it? And hopefully, if you're here and you're married, you've showed some affection to your spouse already this morning, and maybe to your children, but it's about our affection. And this morning, I'm not going to call into question God's affection for me. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's affection to me is settled in spite of my circumstances. It's already settled. But what I am going to call into question this morning is my, and really your, affection to God. And your affection is going to be tested at some point in time. So let's go down through the passage, and we'll work right through it. So the Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again unto the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself, and there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael. Come down to verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Now, fishermen, you know what they do? They fish. And Simon Peter, he grew up on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He grew up, maybe his dad was a fisherman, probably was, and his brother Andrew was a fisherman. That's what they did. They fished. They fished with nets. They fished with hooks. They fished for a living. That's what they did. And the Sea of Galilee, if you've never been there, is an absolutely beautiful place. My wife and I were there 2 years ago at 600 feet below sea level. It seems like you're in the mountains, but really it's like a huge cereal bowl, and the water's clear and clean, and it's a beautiful place. It'd be a great place to grow up, a lot like Jupiter, close to the water, and just having all of that kind of a resource available. And so Simon Peter here, he says, I am going fishing. Now, I want to highlight a couple of things about these fishermen. Number one is the fishermen and their attitude. The fishermen and their attitude. Now, the reason why I say that is because I don't think he's encouraged. I don't think Simon Peter is encouraged. I think he's discouraged. If you think about what they've been preparing for the last 3 years, as you read the Gospels, Peter and the other disciples, the fishermen and the others, they had these grand thoughts that the Lord Jesus would come, and he did come, and thank God that he did, and that he would set up an earthly reign. He would put down the Roman authority, the corrupt Roman authority, and he would rule and reign on the throne. And they envisioned that as something that would happen physically. Now, one day that will happen physically. But the Lord Jesus was setting up his spiritual kingdom, and things weren't working out the way they thought that things were supposed to work out. Has that ever happened in your life? Well, things aren't panning out, you know, and we thought this was going to happen, and this happened. Hey, that's just life. That's just life. It happens. And so I think Simon Peter's discouraged. And the reason why I say that is because Simon Peter says, he says, I go a-fishing. And I don't know about you, but in my life, I've been saved for 18 years. Got saved when I was 27 years old. No church background. But there have been times in my Christian life where I've been discouraged. I thought something was going to happen this way, and it happened another way, and it just wasn't working out the way I thought it should work out. And I think it's human nature for a lot of us. When things don't work out like you think they should, you know what we do? We go back to what we know. We kind of go back to the old life, and things aren't panning out. Jesus was crucified, and boy, he was resurrection. He ascended up to heaven, but he didn't set up his earthly kingdom like the disciples thought they would. And it'd be a little bit discouraging. And Peter says, fellas, I am going fishing. And he's kind of just going back to the old life. And if we're not careful, when we get discouraged, you know what? We kind of quit spiritually and go back to the old life. And so you see his attitude. He's discouraged. By the way, it's not a sin to be discouraged. But you're getting very close to sin if you stay discouraged. It's all about thinking right. And so Simon Peter, he's discouraged, and he says, fellas, I'm going fishing. And then notice what the Bible says. And verse number 3, they say unto him, we also go with thee. That's kind of interesting, because Simon Peter, he's kind of the spokesperson for the disciples. And he says, I'm going fishing. And guess what? He makes a decision. He's discouraged to kind of go back to the old life. And guess what he does? He longs for the old life. And in that, he leads others astray. And as a young father of young children, and the wife I love, if I'm not careful, if I get discouraged and stay discouraged, and I start longing for things that I'm not supposed to long for, guess what? If I make a wrong decision, it not only affects me, but it affects my family. And so when you make a bad decision, you could possibly lead others astray with you. And so all of the disciples, they're fishermen. They said, hey, we're going back to the old life too. We're going fishing. Bible says in Verse number three, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, that's very discouraging for a fisherman. To invest the time and the resources, and I don't know if there's any fishermen or fisher ladies out here that I'm preaching to tonight, but surely if you've been fishing long enough, you've had times where you went fishing and didn't catch anything. I can remember going out with my dad as a young teenage boy, and we'd go out to a pier in the Mobile Bay called Dolphin Island Pier. I don't think it's even in existence anymore. And we would go on a Friday night. He'd get home from work, and we would pack up the cooler, and we'd get the rods and reels together and the tackle boxes, and we'd put it on a little wagon, and we'd go to the Dolphin Island Pier, and we'd pay our small admission fee, and boy, the sun would be down by the time we'd get out there sometimes, and we'd go out there, we'd go all the way out to the end of the pier, and we would fish all night long. Have you ever had a fishing experience like that? All night. I've done the same thing in the Gulf, or rather on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, out on the pier at Rodent Way, fishing all night long. And I hate to say it, but I'm just admitting to you, I'm not that skilled of a fisherman, but I've had all night long experience on the pier from the time the sun goes down to the time the sun comes up in the morning. And there's been a time or two where, to be honest with you, I hadn't caught anything. And it gets windy and gets a little bit chilly. And it's discouraging, and sometimes the Christian life can be that way. You say, I'm trying to be faithful, I'm trying to work, I'm trying to catch fish, I'm trying to be a fisher of men, but I'm not catching anything, and it gets discouraging. But can I tell you, don't ever quit. Don't ever quit fishing for men. And so you see their attitude. They're discouraged. It's not working out. Peter says, I'm going fishing. The fellows say, hey, we're going with you. They go into a boat. They go out all night long, and they catch nothing. So let's continue down through the passage. The scripture says in verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto him, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And I find that kind of funny, because nobody ever asked me if I'm catching anything. And that's rare. They always ask me if I'm catching something when I got an empty 5-gallon bucket or an empty ice chest. No, I'm not catching anything. Well, how long have you been out here? I've been out here for hours. And it's very humiliating. And that's kind of where they are. Their attitude, they're discouraged, and they're kind of just done with the whole thing. And they fished all night. They've not caught anything. Now they're getting questioned. Hey, have you caught anything, fellas? No, we haven't caught a thing. And so let's continue work down. Verse number 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore. Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And so you see their attitude, okay? Peter's laboring. He's going back to the old life. He's leading others astray. Really, I think he's laboring in the wrong areas. God's last command, the Lord Jesus, his last command to the disciples was not to go fishing. It was to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's not working out. They get discouraged. They go fishing again. They spend all night in the boat laboring in the wrong areas, and they catch nothing. And Jesus said, hey, fellows, you might need to cast your net onto the other side of the boat. And I tell you, sometimes as a Christian, you get discouraged, and you kind of have a down attitude. But sometimes we need to ask ourselves the question, am I laboring in the right areas? Am I on the right side of the boat? I've had my net over here. It's not working out. Maybe I need to put my net over here and try something different. Maybe I need to move the boat. And so this is the fishermen and their attitude. And it's not really all that well. And so let's continue. Verse number 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, that's referring to John, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And so they got a good number of fish here. They're bringing the nets in, and it's a good, bountiful catch. I think any fisherman would be excited about catching a load of fish that's so much that it would even break the net. And I look at verse number 10, and we're going to move from point number 1 to point number 2. You see this, you say, the Bible says that Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Now that's interesting. And I underline that in my Bible because that's important. So point number one, you see the fishermen and their attitude. Point number two, you see the fishermen and their accountability. And Jesus says to me, hey, bring me the fish that you have caught. And I don't think this specifically refers to the judgment seat of Christ. We read about the judgment seat of Christ in Romans chapter number 14, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We read about the judgment seat of Christ, where I believe the next thing that that's going to happen here on earth is going to be the rapture of the church. And then there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ and then the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so I believe I can prove that from scriptures. But before the supper, there has to be the judgment seat. You say, preacher, what's the judgment seat? Well, I believe this about the judgment seat of Christ. I believe that the judgment seat is a place where we are going to be accountable to God. You say, what am I going to be judged for at the judgment seat? Well, I don't believe that sin will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're here this morning and you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been born again, you've asked Him to be your Savior, your sin was judged at Calvary. But if you're here and you've been a Christian, and maybe you've been laboring in the wrong areas, maybe your life spiritually has not been that fruitful, and you're not going to be judged for your sin at the judgment seat, but I believe this, I believe that we will be judged for our service. Paul mentions it in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. He talks about being judged about the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. And his response to standing before the Lord one day, the Apostle Paul, his response was, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So thank God that sin is judged at Calvary. But what I'm calling into question this morning is not God's affection to man, but what's my affection towards God. I was having this conversation with my children this morning. How does a child show the parents that they love them? Well, they snuggle on them a little bit, and I love that. And I'm always a little bit leery when my 7-year-old, he gets up real close to me, and he looks me in the eyes and says, Daddy, I love you. My next question is, what do you want from me? But we like that. But really, what I'm trying to teach my children, and I'm trying to learn it myself, the way we show our love towards our Father is one word, obedience. And one day I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to give an account for my obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love is not just something that we say, it's something that we show. And this is an opportunity here where Jesus, he's got his disciples gathered around, and they're fishermen. You got to understand, they love fish, they love the water, they love everything about fishing. And he's got them gathered around, and he says, hey, where are your fish? And I think about that as one day, and the Lord knows my heart as a fisherman, the heart of a fisherman, one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, and he just might ask me this question, where's the fish? Where's the fish? Do I have any fish to give him? Do I have one soul? Do I even have my children, my family members? Do I try to reach out to others? And what a sobering thought to think about, standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and he says, where are the fish? You say, well, God's called you to be a fisherman, but not for me. Well, the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 4 and Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 19, it's a cross reference, it's a parallel passage. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. And so as I follow the Lord and obey the Lord, my burden and desire for the unsaved doesn't decrease, but it increases. And you see the fishermen and their attitude, a totally, almost seems like a wasted night. They've been out on the boat all night, hadn't caught anything. Jesus has got a nice meal prepared for them right on the shore, and I can just smell, I can smell the fish cooking, and he says, fellas, bring me the fish. Their accountability. Now, we're going to get to point number three. Somebody said one time, blessed is the preacher who finishes on time. All right, point number three, let's move down to the passage. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. That's a good catch, I'd say. 153. And for all that were so many, yet the net was not broken. It's kind of interesting, just as a side note, God gives you everything that you need to serve him in the capacity that he has you in right now. It's never too little, and it's never too much. The net was the perfect tool for what they needed right then. The Bible says in verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. And this is now the third time that the Lord, that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Verse 15. So when they dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, I underline those three words, more than these, in the Bible. And so point number one, the fishermen and their attitude, they were discouraged. Number two, the fishermen and their accountability. And one day you and I will give an account to the Lord Jesus of how we used our time and resources here on earth. But number three, you see, the fisherman, Peter, and his affection. So it's just Peter and the Lord Jesus. There's others around, but they're kind of having one of these conversations where it's just between A and B. There's nobody else that's really, maybe John's tuning in because he penned it later on, but it's Peter and Jesus, and Peter looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at Peter, and Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And I've read at least 10 or 12 commentaries on this passage right here because it's interesting. Is Jesus saying, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? And that could be true, and there's application for that. But when I think about this passage and I think about Peter, now what's Peter? He's a fisherman. What do fishermen love? Fishermen love fish. They love the water. They love the boats. They love the equipment. They love everything about fishing. And I believe that Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than fish, Peter? Do you love me more than the Sea of Galilee? Do you love me more than your boat? Do you love me more than your nets? And you know what Peter was going through? He was going through a time when the Lord Jesus was testing his sincerity. And God will reveal how spiritual you are or how spiritual you're not when things don't go your way. And he asked that little question, do you love me more than these? And it's easy to say we love God when things are going our way, but it's a little bit harder to say I love God when things are not going our way. And a lot of times, the Lord Jesus will allow you to go through a dark night, a night where you don't catch anything, a season of life where you're unfruitful, and a season of life maybe of pain or negative circumstances. And the fact of the matter is, you know what he's doing? He's testing your sincerity. And Peter, boy, I'm glad I wasn't there to get asked that question, because I would have probably did the same thing that Peter did. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than all this, Peter? And it's a question we need to ask ourselves. Let's go down and we'll finish the passage. Verse 15, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. And so Peter uses a different word. I'm sure Pastor Blaylock's probably preached on this passage. And so there's a play on words, two different words for the word love. And Peter says, Lord, you know, I have brotherly love for you. And so let's look at verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, Thou knowest all things, and that thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And so I think Peter's in line for a career change here pretty soon. We find out in the book of Acts he does. And so verse 18, verily, verily, Jesus is speaking, I say unto thee, when thou wast young and girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. It's interesting to think about Peter's death. And Peter kind of made the confession to the Lord at one point in time, Lord, we'll follow you even to the death. And you know what? Peter was able to make good on that, because you know how Peter died? Peter was crucified. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, the fisherman was crucified. And not only that, he was crucified upside down. He said, I am not worthy to be crucified as the Lord Jesus. They crucified him upside down. You know what happened before Peter was crucified upside down? He watched his wife crucified. And Jesus says, Peter, you're going to get your chance. Your sincerity is going to be tested. Don't you worry, Peter. It's coming. And so Peter, his affection is being tested. And then the Bible says there in verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Very interesting. You know what my job as a Christian is in 2021? To follow the Lord. Now, I'm preaching to folks, and I don't know who's all in the vehicles, but I'm sure there's some parents and grandparents, and there might be some children and some teenagers that I'm preaching to this morning. You know what your job is? To follow the Lord Jesus. Now, a teenager might be thinking, well, I'm not even finished with high school. I don't know where I'm going to go to college. I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know what kind of car I'm going to drive. Hey, you don't worry about that. You just follow the Lord. It doesn't matter if the guy you voted for is in office or the guy that you voted for is not in office. My job stays the same. My job is to follow Christ. You know what Jesus said to Peter? He tested his sincerity and he said, Peter, follow me. Verse number 20, then Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. And so I can see Peter just kind of turns and looks around and he sees John, that beloved disciple whom Jesus loved. And Peter looks back and sees John and notice what he says. He says, Lord, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And so the way I put it together is kind of Peter looks around and he sees John, and he looks back to Jesus and says, Peter, what about him? What is he going to do? And that's kind of where we focus sometimes, don't we? We focus on everybody else. What are they going to do? Well, the question is not what they're going to do. The question is what I'm going to do. And he says, what shall this man do? Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Basically, what's Jesus saying to Peter? He's saying, Peter, don't worry about him, worry about you. And I found this out in my short Christian life. I can't worry about everybody else. Now I hope that you'll follow God, and I hope whatever age that you're in, you'll just obey and do what God wants you to do and don't fail the test of sincerity. But I tell you, I got enough trouble with this one right here. And sometimes we get worried about everybody else. And Jesus says, hey, don't worry about everybody else. What is that to thee? And then he says this again. He says, follow thou me. It's interesting. If you would go back, and we're not going to go back, but to Matthew chapter 4 and Mark chapter number 1, they're parallel passages. The very first thing that Jesus ever said to Peter, you know what he said? Follow me. And that's all the Lord Jesus is asking. He's not asking for excuses. He's not asking for an examination of your circumstances. The thing hasn't changed from the time that you got saved until now. No matter how dark the days, no matter how things are working out or not working out, my job stays the same as day number one. Follow thou me. And I might be speaking to some here in the parking lot or online this morning, and you say, boy, the last year or so has just kind of been a mess. Well, I think the world's always been a mess. It just showed up on our doorstep, really, in the last 12 or 14 months or so. And maybe you say things aren't panning out, and boy, this has just been way different than I could have ever expected, and this is not what I signed on for. But you know what? Hey, we get discouraged, but don't stay there. Don't stay discouraged. And maybe sometimes we need to do an attitude check. What's my attitude like? Am I leading my family in the right direction with the right attitude? And then think about our accountability. One day, I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, whose eyes are as a flame of fire, and I am going to have to give an account for my service to God. I'm not looking forward to that day. But then think about my affections. What am I loving? What am I loving more than I love the Lord Jesus? And I can just see him asking me that question as a fisherman. Thomas, do you love me more than, man, the water and the fish and the boats and the world? If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How's your affection this morning? How's your attitude? One day, you will give an account unto the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? And we're going to close the service in just a moment, but if you'll bow with me, I just want to give you an opportunity, just a moment, and the pastor's going to come close us. If you're here this morning, and maybe you're a young person, maybe you're an old person, and you're not sure that you're a child of God, if you died right now, you're not sure that you'd have a home in heaven. Can I tell you, Peter learned this, and the disciples learned this. Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, and he offers you the gift of everlasting life. All you must do is receive it by faith. You just have to ask him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here this morning and you're not certain about your salvation, I encourage you, that's where you start. But probably the most of the people I'm preaching to this morning are probably those that have known the Lord and maybe a lot longer than I've known the Lord. And I just want you to ask yourself, how's my attitude? Is my attitude worthy of my children, my wife, those in my sphere of influence, or am I discouraged and leading others down a wrong path? Well, if your attitude's not right, then just get it right. Confess it and get it right. There's going to be a day where you're going to have to give an account for your service to the Lord. And my next question is this. Is God testing your sincerity this morning? How's your affection? What do you love more than the Lord Jesus? Jesus says, follow thou me. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity, Lord. Unusual circumstances. But God, you've blessed your word for a long time, and I pray that you continue to bless your word. And Lord, I pray that we'd have the right attitude. I pray that we'd look forward to a day that we would stand before you and give an account. And God, I pray that you'd help our affections to be in the right place. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to be fruitful and just one foot in front of the other. Help us to follow you, Lord. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.